الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأقسط إن الله يحب المقسطين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. The last few sessions, we were looking at some qualities that bring a person close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One category of people that Allah ta'ala mentions in the Quran, not hadith, this is an ayat of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about those people who have justice. And any person who acts justly, that person is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In three different places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this phrase, Inna Allaha yuhibbul muqsitin, that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those people who act with justice. This is that one word that captures the essence of all Islamic laws and all Islamic teachings and the overriding value, which is justice. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran mentions that the reason why Allah sent the kitab and sent the different prophets was to establish just justice and to end injustice, to end zulm. Justice basically means that you give everyone their due, and to understand that what is the due, what are the rights of other people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us guidance through the Quran, guidance through the prophets, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. It's very important for a believer that we act with justice, because this is not just a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is also one of the attributes of Allah ta'ala himself. For those of us who were there last night, we did this attribute of Allah ta'ala, al-muqsit. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself acts justly, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves justice. And whoever acts with justice, that person becomes the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see that acting justly means that a person should not, even if they know the whole story, a person should not be persuaded or motivated by their self-interest or motivated by some emotions that they have, or they side with one party because they have dealings with them, or they oppress the other party because they hate them. These emotions, they become an obstacle when a person wishes to act with justice. Allah says, no, wa'aqsitu. Then when you have to act, you should disregard these emotions, disregard these relationships, disregard these personal feelings that you have, and you should look at that matter objectively. And you should keep this hukum of the deen in front of you, justice. And whatever the justice demands, you should do that. Now, human temperament is fragile, and normally there are two emotions that become an obstacle to justice. When you want to deal with other people justly, there are two major impediments. One is that you have love for someone. So when you know that that person did something wrong, you won't point out their mistakes. Why? Because you love them. This emotion of love becomes an obstacle. So in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one ayat teaches us that you should overcome this impediment. When you're dealing with your closest relatives, even your own self, and loves come in the way, your own interest comes in the way of justice, and you should step over your interest, and you should do what is just. So in Surah Nisa, verse number 135, there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the believers, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, all those who have iman, kunu qawwamina bil qist, should stand out firmly for justice, shuhada lillah, as witnesses to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, walau ala anfusikum, even if it is against yourself. Yani even if you have to go against your own self, you should still stand out with justice. Awil walidaini, awil walidaini, or if you have to go against your parents and your relatives, wal akrabina, relatives, even if you have to testify and it's going to be to be detrimental to your own people, to your own parents, to your own family, Allah is saying that the loss in this world will only be temporary. This is insignificant compared to the punishment that a person will get in Akhirah if a person doesn't uphold justice. And then Allah says, إِن يَكُنْ غَنِيًّا أَوْ فَقِيرًا, that if you're acting with poor people or rich people, you should not think about their wealth status, you should act justly. So how does this work? Sometimes when a person is acting with those who are rich, so wealth becomes a factor and you side with them because they're wealthy. There is an incentive that that person might favor me if I give the decision in their favor. So Allah says, no, wealth cannot be a factor. And similarly, if the other person is poor, normally it happens that we become affectionate towards them. We think that, you know, this person is poor, so I'll favor him. So that also cannot be done. Yani whether they're wealthy or poor, that cannot be a factor in making our decision. We should be looking at what is just. And whatever is haq, whatever is qist, that's a person, that's how a person should act. The Prophet ﷺ, once Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she said that the Prophet ﷺ once asked the Sahaba if they knew that who will be the first to reach Allah Ta'ala's shade on the day of Qiyamah. The shade of Allah Ta'ala's arsh on the day of Qiyamah, when there will be no other shade except for the shade of Allah Ta'ala's arsh. So the Sahaba Ikram, they replied that Wallahu wa Rasuluhu A'lam, that Allah and His Messenger, they know best. So then the Prophet ﷺ said that it will be that person who would accept their rights when it is given to them, and they give the rights of others to others people. Okay, they give what is due to other people, and they judge between people as they would pass judgment for themselves. This is a beautiful teaching. The deen teaches us that when you want to act with the other person, you should think, how do you want other people to act with you? What you prefer for yourself, you should prefer for others. So if you prefer justice for your own self, that no one should do zulm on you, injustice upon you, then you should also act with justice to other people. You should prefer that justice for other people. Don't do zulm on them as well. And if a person does this, then because of this one attribute, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless them with the shade of His arsh on the day of Qiyamah. And then Allah says, فَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا الْحَوَىٰ أَن تَعْدِلُوا, and you should not follow your passion, your hawa, your whims, your desires. They should not become an obstacle as well. Do not follow your passions in enforcing justice. This is like a one sentence summary. Because normally injustice is the result when you follow your passions, when a person does what they want to do. So instead of following the truth, person ends up following their desires, their whims. Instead of following the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person ends up following the dictates of fashion, culture, media, society, and they end up ignoring the command of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that don't follow your passions. Rather, if a person follows their passion, they will never be able to give justice. So in this one ayat of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us this lesson that one should act justly no matter who they're acting with. Even if it's your friends, your family, one should put your own self-interest aside, your own self, your own motivations, your own desires, your own advantage, all of that should be put aside, and we should act in a way that Allah wants us to have wants us to act, that is the real definition of iman, true iman. Alladhina amanu. Real iman is that a person is not looking at what benefits them, what is in their own interest. They're looking at what benefits their akhirah. And ultimately, if you act in the according to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that is in our larger interest. This is another thing. Then we think about our self-interest, we define it in a very narrow way. We're just thinking about this narrow, temporary 40, 50, 70 years that we're living in this dunya. That's not what self-interest is. Self-interest is we should be thinking about not just this dunya, we should also be thinking about akhirah. That why act unjustly and get a few advantages in this dunya for 80 years and then be punished for that in akhirah. So intelligent person would be that who acts with justice and does what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demands. There's no favoritism in Islam. And then sometimes it happens that, let's say you're interacting, you're engaging with someone who is your enemy. You have hatred for that person, malice for that person. And now when it comes to act with that individual, because you already hate that person, this emotion of hatred might become an obstacle to justice. You might just be persuaded by your own emotions and persecute that person, oppress that person. You won't act justly with them because already you don't like them. So in another ayat of the Quran, in Surah Maida, verse number 8, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again opens up this question as well. That when you want to act with other people who you don't like, still you should engage with them with justice, act justly. And again in this ayat also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the believers. That ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, that all those who have iman, kunu qawamina lillah, stand out firmly for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shuhada'a bil qist, as witnesses to justice. And then Allah says, let not the hatred of others to you make you swerve to wrong and depart from justice. Let your enmity or your hatred, let that not be an obstacle. That should not hinder you. Enmity for a person, enmity for a nation, enmity for a community, right? This should not spur you to be unjust with them. And you look at the teaching of our deen. Both these ayat, they are establishing that no matter what the situation is, you should establish justice, irrespective of those against whom you are testifying. And then Allah says, when you act with justice, know that عِذَلُ هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى, that acting with adl, with justice, is closer to taqwa. This quality of justice will bring you, will lead you to the quality of taqwa. Each of these two qualities, they draw the person to the other, right? Justice will lead you towards taqwa. Yani we are looking in this month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan is a month that we should be increasing in taqwa. And we should be trying ideally to look at all those things which can help us increase in our taqwa. And here in Quran, Allah Ta'ala is mentioning that اِعْدَلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى, that acting with justice is closer to piety, closer to taqwa. So if you have this sifat, this quality of justice, then a person will be closer, higher up in taqwa. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, Allah says, have taqwa and be informed that Allah knows whatever you are doing. So in other words, you cannot even do injustice or zulm when you're dealing with their enemy. Like it used to happen in pre-Islamic Jahiliyyah. And it sometimes even happens today in our civilized communities and societies. That you hate someone, you start interacting with them unjustly. Now if you look at the sifat, that subhanallah, in our deen, we have such amazing stories about how people, the early Muslims, and even later generations, they would enact the sifat of justice, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them so much barakah. And we mentioned at the start that a person who acts justly, they get the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is that sifat which is so beloved to Allah, that not only do they become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gives them very special treatment in this dunya as well. So for example, we see that in the seerah, when the Sahaba Ikram, they were migrating from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Tayyibah, There was one Sahabi by the name of Hazrat Huzaifa bin Yaman radiallahu ta'ala an, and his father. Both of them were on the way to Madinah Tayyibah. They were making Hijrat. And then they were stopped midway by Abu Jahl. And Abu Jahl said that, "I won't allow you to cross." And they asked, they pleaded. So he said that, "Okay, I'm gonna allow you to go, but only on one condition, which is that you will not participate in a battle against us." And they agreed. So when Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he reached Madinah Tayyibah, and immediately the Muslims were facing this battle of Badr. And all of us know that the battle of Badr, the Muslims were poorly armed, they were not well equipped, and they were facing an army which was three times their own size. This was a battle in which this very survival of the Muslim community was at stake. And every single individual counted tremendously. But they came to the Prophet and they mentioned that this is what happened. So the Prophet told them that you should not participate. Did not allow them to participate. Why? Simply because they had given this word that they would not do so. So we see this is how they would interact. They would have justice in themselves. Actually, even just to give another recent example, this is an example which happened in British India. This was at a time when the partition was taking place, when the British rule was there in India. Once there was a dispute that happened between Hindus and Muslims over a piece of land. And the Hindus claimed that it belonged to them and they wanted to make a temple over it. And the Muslims said that no, this land belongs to us. And they said that we want to build a masjid over it. So you can imagine that this was a Hindu-Muslim issue. And then it was a masjid and a temple issue. So emotions were very high on both the sides. And there was a real possibility that this riot will take place. And if a riot takes place, then people would lose their lives on both the sides. So this case was presented in the court at that time. And the judge happened to be a English, a Brit, right? Not a Muslim, not a Christian, not a Hindu. So this case came before him, and the judge also understood the delicacy, the sensitivity of this issue. He wanted to bring about some kind of a sulah, some aspect with which he could reconcile. Because he knew that if this goes out of hand, then it will be very difficult to extinguish the fire of this riot. So the judge, when he listened to the court case, he said that, "I have a suggestion. Instead of giving the ruling, I'll give you a suggestion first. That is it possible that you guys can talk to each other and try to find a solution to this problem through talks?" So then the Hindus have suggested that, we will tell you the name of a Muslim alim. We can take you aside and we can tell you the name of a Muslim alim, a Muslim scholar. And in the next hearing, we want you to call that Muslim scholar and you can ask him about this case. We'll decide by that person's decision. If he says that this land belongs to the Muslim, we'll give it to the Muslims. But if he says that it doesn't belong to the Muslims, it's for the Hindus, then we ask you that you give this land to us. So when the judge asked, he presented this proposal to to the other side as well, and both the groups, the Muslims and Hindus, they agreed with this suggestion. And the Muslims in their heart, they were thinking, they're very happy that, this person would be a Muslim scholar. So whoever he is, at the end of the day, he's a Muslim. So he will always favor us and say that you should build a masjid. So anyway, that judge, he decided that after a few days, then we'll have the hearing. And at that time, we'll call that Muslim scholar as well. So when the Muslims, they went out of the court, they were very happy. They were congratulating each other. They were hooting that, we'll win this case easily because a Muslim scholar will be deciding, and he's going to decide in our haq, in our favor. So the Hindus, then they asked their own group that, "What did you do? That how could you make this Muslim scholar a judge, a hakim, right? That he will decide on your behalf." So anyway, they were waiting, And then when the time came for the next hearing, so the Hindus, they mentioned the name of that Muslim scholar, Mufti Ilahi Bakhsh Kandalvi Rahmatullah Alayh. That was the name of that scholar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him a life of truth, a life of piety, and a life of haq, and a life of justice. So the next ruling, the next, you know, the time came, and now they called, the court was in session, and then the judge asked that Muslim imam, that scholar, to come, and that person came inside the court as a witness. And this was a charged, completely charged atmosphere on both the sides. The entire community was there, and they were standing and witnessing that how will this Muslim scholar decide. So then the judge asked him that, Mufti Saab, this is the piece of land. Who does this piece of land belong to? And the Muslim scholar already knew the whole hakikat of the reality of that case. So in his reply, he said that this piece of land belongs to the Hindus. Now when he said that this piece of land belongs to the Hindus, so that judge, he asked a second question, that Hindus, do they have the permission to build a temple over this land? So again, he replied that if it belongs to them, if it's in their own, if it's in their ownership, then they can do whatever they want to. If they want to build a house, they can build it. If they want to build a temple, they can build it. It's their choice. So this decision was given then, that this piece of land belongs to the Hindus. But then that judge, while giving the sentence, he wrote another very ajeeb, he said an ajeeb statement. After giving this, issuing this verdict, he said that today the Muslims, they have lost this case, but Islam won. Muslims lost this case, but Islam has won. And when that judge, he said these words, at that time the Hindus were there in the court, they said, the judge saab, you have told us your decision, now we want you to listen to our decision as well. All of us at this time, we will recite the kalima and we will become Muslim. And today we make an announcement that we will make a masjid with our own hands on this piece of land. This is the barakah of acting with justice. When a person acts justly, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps that person. Allah ta'ala's madad is with that person. Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an, there's a story about him, that there was a ruler, a prince of Iran, who used to fight a lot with the Muslims and used to hurt and harm the Muslim army. So once he was captured and he was presented before Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, he called the executioner and said that we will execute him. Now at that time, the prince was standing in front of him, and Sayyidina Umar, he asked him that, what, do you have any last desire, last wish? Because normally that's what happens, that before you carry out the hath punishment, you ask them for the last wish. So he said that, I have wish for water. I want to drink water. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that, present to him a glass of water. So this glass of water came, and that prince, he was not drinking. He was trembling. His hands were shaking. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu asked him that, why aren't you drinking? He said that, I feared this sword of the executioner, that I might be drinking water and he might attack me with this sword and might kill me. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said to him that, no, don't be worried. You know, we have itmanan that as long as you don't drink this water, we will not kill you. As long as you drink this water, as you finish this water, we will not do anything to you. So then that ruler, he showed some chalaki, right? Some intelligence, that wit, and he flipped that glass of water on the ground. And the water was absorbed by the land, by the earth. And then he said that, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, you have to fulfill your promise. You have to be just to your promise. Because I haven't मैंने पानी नहीं पिया, द वॉटर आई हैवंट यूज्ड इट, नाउ यू कैन नॉट किल मी. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, no, at that time, this was a, imagine, this is a moment where one of the biggest enemies of Islam is standing in front of you, and on the other hand, you gave your word. You gave your word. At this time, if it was any one of us, we would say that do whatever you have to, but I will kill you. Because you are an enemy of Muslims, you are an enemy of Islam. But Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, no, he was a man of justice. He was a man of justice. He said that what you're saying is right. I gave you my word. And because you haven't drank the water, so I will not kill you. And I take my ruling back. I take my ruling back. We will not kill you. So the other Muslims that were there in that gathering, they were surprised that this ruler, he just, you know, had this intelligent wit, and because of that, he saved himself. But they were also surprised at another thing as well. That when this issue, when this, when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said to him that, okay, we'll take back our verdict, you're set, you know, we won't kill you. So that ruler, he addressed Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu and said that, Amir al-Mu'mineen, I did this act, did this harakat, I did this. And If I looked at the executioner and if I'd recited the kalima, then people would have said that I recited the kalima because I feared my death. That's why I became a Muslim. But I actually devised a strategy because of which now my life is saved. Now you will not kill me. Now I'm free. Now I'm a free man. Now with the core of my heart, I testify and I say that that deen in which there is so much respect for justice, I recite the kalima and I accept this deen. Standing there in front of everyone, he recited the kalima, and that ruler, that prince, he became a Muslim. And then in the books it's mentioned that once he used to be an enemy of Islam, number one enemy of Islam. And then there came a time that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to take mashwara with him, used to take advice from him. He went on to become one of the big generals of the Muslim army. So whenever a person acts for justice, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always assists and helps that person. And just to understand how rewarding this amal is, that one of the greatest blessings is that a person gets the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but there's another ajeeb thing, another benefit, which is very ajeeb. That once there was a king who made this intention to perform some nafil hajj. And he asked people around him, the people around him said that, you know, we need you as a king to be here with us. If you go away on this journey for hajj, then it's nafil. If you go away on this journey for hajj, then it will lead to many other problems in running, in governance, and there'll be many issues and flashpoints that will come up. We need you here. So then the king asked, then how will I get the sawab, the reward for performing hajj? So the people in the court, they said that, you know, we don't know the answer to that, but we call an alim, a scholar, and the scholar might try to persuade you to go, to not to go, right? Might persuade you to do otherwise. So anyway, that person, the Muslim scholar, he came and the king said that I want to go for hajj, but these people are stopping me. On one hand, you know, I have this reward for performing hajj. And how can I sell that? How can I let that opportunity go away? So then that alim, he said that I have performed so and so hajj in my life. And he mentioned a very high number. And I am willing to sell the reward of all my hajj to you. I am willing to sell the reward of all my hajj that I've done in my whole life. I'm willing to give it to you. So the king, he asked that, what's the price of that? What's the price for each hajj? He said that for each hajj, for every single step that I took on each hajj, the price is the entire qeemat of this dunya. the entire kingdom of this dunya, that is the price for every step that I performed for every hajj. The king, he was, you know, silent. He said that, you know, what are you talking about? I am just a ruler about this area, and I don't have such a wealth, such a price to offer you, to pay to you. And what, you know, I cannot do this. So then he replied, and he said that, oh king, it's very easy for you to pay the price, and you can get all the reward, the entire reward for all my hajj. It's very easy for you. And the king asked him, sir, what is the price? What can I do? He said that whenever there was any mazloom, any person, some person against whom some injustice was done, and at that time you stood for justice and you gave justice to that person, to that mazloom, you give me the reward of that one amal of yours. When you acted with justice with a mazloom, I will give you the reward of 60 hajj that I've performed in my life. One moment of acting with justice, you give me that reward, I'll give you the reward of 60 hajj that I've performed in my life. So this acting with justice is a quality which doesn't have to be, you have to be a judge or a ruler to be able to enact this. All of us, we have our own positions in our society, and some of us might be a manager, a director, a principal, a teacher, a parent even, right? So people are under us, and if we act with justice, then we can get this reward as well. It's a responsibility, right? Responsibility will be, like the Prophet ﷺ said, that each shepherd will be questioned about their flock. So all of us, we have people under us, parents, we have children under us, managers have an organization under us, teachers have students under us. So if we act with responsibility and we enact justice in our responsibility, then this is the reward that a person will get. So we should have this habit of dealing justly with others, justly with our own self, and justice with others as well. So justice with our own self means that we should not do zulm on ourselves as well. This is another point to understand. Don't do zulm on others. Don't do zulm on your own self. And we do zulm on ourselves sometimes by sinning against Allah. So that's also part of justice. That don't sin. Don't use your organs to sin against Allah. The tongue, the ears, the eyes, the hands, the feet. Allah has given them as a trust to us. We should restrain from sin. Use these organs in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because otherwise these organs will testify against us. On the day of Qiyamah, they will say that Allah, this person, they forced me to do these things. They forced me to commit this sin. The Prophet ﷺ said that fear Allah, do not force these organs when you're using them to do something which is sinful. These organs are pleading with us. That fear Allah, don't force me to commit that which Allah has forbidden. And then if a person commits a sin, these organs, they turn to Allah and say that Allah, I forbade him, but this person did not listen. I'm innocent of what he did. And there'll be on the day of Qiyamah, these own organs will testify to the zulm, the injustice that we have done against our own self. So one aspect is that we should not do zulm on our own selves. And the second is that we should not do zulm on other people. Those people around us, whether it's our people in our custody, like our children, our spouse, or other people who are under us, we should act with justice and graciousness. Both these qualities are important. Justice is that you give them everything that Allah has given them. Allah has made rightfully their share. You give them their rights. You give them their whatever you're supposed to give them, right? And on the other hand, as for graciousness, that is that you treat them gently. Don't be harsh in asking them for your own rights. And it's a two-faced responsibility that we have. That when it comes to discharging our obligations and duties, we should give complete full the rights of other people, acting, treating them with justice. But when it comes to demanding our rights from other people, we should not demand, we should treat with graciousness. Act with graciousness. If they give you back your rights, then you're thankful to Allah, you're thankful to them. And if for some reason they don't give you, then a person should have this graciousness in their character. Graciousness, we are people who want to give, not necessarily people who want to take. In Hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that the hand which is above is better than the hand which is below. Any dene wala hath, lene wale hath se better. A hand that gives is better than the hand that takes. So we should have this habit of forgiving the wrongdoers, people who have done injustice against us, so that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah can forgive us. In Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions, wal ya'fu wal yasfahu, that if someone has wronged you, done some zulum against you, then if you can forgive that person and act graciously with that person, Allah says that, don't you like that if you forgive that person, in return, Allah, I will forgive you? So we should remember this ayat, that ya Allah, yes, Allah, I want to get your forgiveness. Look at the beauty of the deen. Allah is saying that if you forgive them, in return, Allah, I will forgive you. Now, who can say that I don't need the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So if you want to get the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should also act with graciousness with other people. Other people, we are humans. Humans means that we're not some kind of angels. People will make mistakes. But when someone makes a mistake, then someone wrongs us, and they're also apologetic about that, then we should have an open heart, a big heart. We can forgive them for the sake of Allah, with this intention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive us. And we should also be aware of unjustly harming other people, insulting them. We should try to save ourselves from backbiting and slander, cursing other people, right? And one final thing which I'll end with is that let's assume there is someone who has done some injustice. So what should we do in those cases? If you already have done some zulum, acted unjustly with other people, it's very important that we work on this and we make tawbah of this zulum in this dunya. Because these zulm, this injustice will be a darkness on the day of Qiyamah. And especially the injustice that we do to other people, that is never left alone by Allah. The Prophet ﷺ in a hadith mentioned that the bankrupt of my nation will be those who will come to Akhirah with many, many good deeds. But then they struck someone in the dunya. They insulted someone else in the dunya. They took the money of other people. They backbited others. They slandered others. And as a result of these injustices that they have done, people on that day, the mazloom will be standing in a line on that day, and they'll be wanting their haq. They'll want justice on that day. And on that day, they will be asking for our good deeds. And then this person's good deeds will be given to those mazloom. And then there will come a time when all the good deeds of this person will be given to the others. And still the mazloom will say that we still want our haq has not been fulfilled. And then Allah will ask them that, now what do you want? And they'll say, ya Allah, the sins that we have done, we ask you to lessen the burden of sins and put our sins on the shoulder of that person. So there'll be so many people on that day, the Prophet ﷺ said, who will come to Allah Ta'ala with mountains of good deeds. But because of doing zulm on others, not being careful about hukukul ibad, they will end up giving their good deeds and they will leave that day with a mountain of sin on their shoulder. So that's why if we ever wrong anyone, we should hasten to rectify that zulm. Hasten to rectify that zulm. In hadith it comes that one who has committed an injustice against their brother, they should ask him to absolve him of that. Yani maafi mangle. Ask forgiveness before that day comes when there will be neither dinar nor dirham, but only good and evil deeds. So now practically, what does this mean? That if there is some financial injustice that we have done. So part of tawbah is that we have to return the rights of others. This is part and integral element of tawbah. That if there is another person, that we have to give them their rights. So we violated their rights. So we should give them their rights. So financially, if you took someone's money, we need to pay back that money. It's not that we think that there is a made tawbah and that is forgiven. Hukukul la can be forgiven by Allah, but hukukul ibad, they need to be paid back. it comes that to return a person's dirham, one dirham is bigger amal, is a greater amal in the eyes of Allah than 70 maqbool salah that a person prayed. 70 maqbool salah. So if a person has something due to another person, we have to give it to him. Ibrahim bin Adam rahmatullah alayhi says, I was sleeping inside a saf in Baitul Muqaddas. It was very cold. Two angels came with faces lit up with the noor. And one said that I feel that there's some stranger in our presence. And the other said that, yes, this is son of Adam is here. But how can he get the wilayat? How can he get the friendship of Allah? How can he become the beloved of Allah? There is so-and-so person in Basra. He ate his date without his permission. And then these angels, they flew away. Ibrahim Adam rahmatullah alayhi says, I woke up and I remember that some time ago, I bought dates from a shop in Basra. When I was leaving, I saw that a date was lying on the ground. I thought it was mine, so I picked it up, I ate it, but that date did not belong to me. It was a shopkeeper. So then he says, I traveled from Baitul Muqaddas all the way to Basra, made payment for that date to the shopkeeper, and then Allah Ta'ala gave me this maqam of wilayat, this friendship. So one should ask for forgiveness, say sorry. Then if a person has violated the honor of someone, ghibat. So what's, how can a person make tawbah? This is hukukul ibad. So what is better here is that a person can go to that person and say sorry, ask for forgiveness. You don't need to tell exactly the things that you said about that person. Bas umumi taur pe you can say that you have many rights over me. I wasn't able to discharge my rights over you. I ask that you please forgive me in the name of Allah. And the ulama, they say that in response, if that person smiles at you, you get your forgiveness. If that person remains silent, then also get your forgiveness. It's very easy to get this forgiveness in this dunya. Very easy. You hurt someone, you said bad words, hit someone, we should ask for forgiveness. On the other hand, if it's not possible, maybe that person is no longer alive, or you're unable to ask that person for some of the injustices that are far away, then we should do two things. Number one, we should seek refuge, make dua to Allah with sincerity and with urgency and with ajizi, that Allah, I want to get this forgiveness, but I'm unable to. I'm powerless to reach that person. And then you, second thing you do is you pray for that person, that Allah, I'm making dua for that individual, that person whom I have wronged. Allah, give him so much, give him so much, give him so much. And Allah, make this dua a means of kafara. Make this dua a means of giving that person his right, his lawful right. So you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. That's number one. And secondly, you make dua for that individual. And you ask Allah ta'ala to put this narmi, this softness in the heart of that individual. To put this this ability to forgiveness in the heart of that person, that on his own, that person can forgive you in his heart. So we should try to defend the lives, the honor and the wealth of other people as you defend your own, whether they're present or not. So in this way, inshallah, if a person makes tawbah, then one can get this love from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we make dua to Allah ta'ala, that may Allah ta'ala make us such that we can act justly in our life, we can act with justice and with graciousness in all aspects of our life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for all the zulm that we have done. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us that we can make true tawbah. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhana rabbil al wahab. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Rabbana zalamna anfusana. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. صلى الله تعالى على خير خلق محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.